LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. Have you ever wondered? From temples located on windswept mountain terraces to ancient monolithic structures built in unexpected locations whose patronage has long since been lost to history, the stories of the spiritual earth resound with amazing tales still untold. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FaultConjure.com, located in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. This week we welcome our special guest, Balkan Diviner in Romania, bringing us today's topic, Romanian Folklore. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FaultConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Balkan Diviner. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
All right, everyone. I have to say, I am through the roof excited for our guest for tonight. All the way from Romania. You may have seen our guest in the Lucky Mojo forum. You may have seen our guest in the chat rooms for Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, as well as the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. I'm really thrilled to welcome our friend Balkan Diviner to join us tonight. So, Balkan Diviner, let us know a little bit about you. How did you get into spiritual work? Share some of your story with us.
Well, hello. I'm Balkan Diviner. I'm coming from Romania, being located near the Black Sea, hence my name, including a reference to the Balkans. The cornerstone of my practice involves divination, particularly cartomancy. So this is how Diviner comes from. I'm a Leo, a fixed sign, quite a courageous one, and passionate about my areas of interest. Actually, my interest in hoodoo and lucky mojo started with researching information on autism. Miss Cat guided me in regard to this information, as she's on the spectrum as well. From there, I've become a regular listener to the Hoodoo Root Worker Hour radio show, and I found quite a welcoming community. As for myself, I define myself as a spiritual worker belonging to the Orthodox Christian Church. But at the same time, I maintain a special relationship with God, its saints, and angels. My interest in spirituality might as well have been brought from a previous life, as I do believe in reincarnation. As a child, I would often stare fascinated at Orthodox icons and make the sign of the cross. It's a bit cute, but whenever I've stumbled upon a church or altar, I would be happy. In fact, if I visited a family but no Orthodox icon was around, I would be shocked to the core. One time, while visiting an Orthodox monastery, I placed myself in the center of the building, almost like wanting to absorb the energy from that place. And also, in my house, I would make little religious rituals, such as smudging or chanting as far as I could. I mean, I was like 4 or 5 years old. So wow. I believe it was always with me, to be honest, in one way or the other.
You know, you come from a region that very few in the U.S. ever have a chance to really visit or get to know, you know, outside of popular media. And I know just for myself, I've mentioned Romania to friends, and the very first thing that they come back and say is, oh, isn't that where Dracula's from? No. Thanks for coming and thanks for playing. But no, not necessarily. But it's a region that's very steeped in a rich history. And I find it very interesting, you know, even from a young age, how you felt drawn to the spiritualness of the area. What's it like living a spiritual life in Romania?
Well, it's not unusual at all, because Romania is a highly religious but also spiritual country. And to be honest, I love this. As I've mentioned before, I believe in reincarnation. So I'm not sure whether as souls we can choose in what country we want to reincarnate, but at least in my case, I absolutely love the cultural aspect of my country, because as I've mentioned, here magic is basically everywhere, and literally everyone has some sort of beliefs, superstitions, and so forward. So it was not unusual, or I was not considered weird because of that. Interestingly enough, before I was born, my mother also got a reading from a psychic that said that she would have a boy. So even my birth was like in the cards.
It's always fun how that happens. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that, you know, the religious and spiritual traditions in your region, that actually I would say most of Eastern Europe, it's very much passed down from generation to generation. Is that correct?
Yes, that's highly accurate. You won't find many books or even well-resourced books. For instance, I cannot give you an example of a good book I've read about Romanian folklore. It's literally broke down from generation to generation. And this is interesting. Well, you know what they say. In order to understand a country, you must understand its history and know it. Romania was formed initially into, let's say, roughly three small states, and they were torn between wars against Hungary, Poland, later the Ottoman Empire, and even later the Russian Empire. So we are always in the middle of conflict between regional powers here. And that's why we have a strong sense of preservation for our culture in order to survive.
You know, that to me, that's truly fascinating. And it really seems in the U.S. that we've kind of lost that appreciation for remembering the history, remembering, I'm just going to say it, the true history. We seem to, in many cases, strive to white to erase the parts of things that we don't particularly care to remember. But I feel that in a lot of cases, we lose so much that could be enriching us. And I feel that this practice that continues to this day in Eastern Europe just adds so much to the richness of daily life in Eastern Europe. I my family, in and of itself, is primarily Eastern European, and I feel the draw to maintaining that. And you know, you alluded to not being able to find an accurate book, a good book, or a solid book to truly express the life in Romania, the spirituality, the spiritualness, the folk practices, the folk magic, folklore. Maybe that's something that was laid before you to bring that to the rest of us. And we're starting tonight. Isn't that great?
Yes, that would be cool. It's also important to remember that having external threats in this region made us more paranoid, I guess, and it was necessary to preserve our tradition and to also value secrecy. I doubt the United States had the same pressure from like four major powers.
I can't deny that. It's very true. You know, you definitely come from a region that is prone to, or has been, is, I guess both are kind of true, prone to these upheavals. And I can definitely understand the need to pull all of this together and to keep it kind of sacrosanct, and preserve the heritage for the generations coming forward. Is you never know. I mean, we can look at although, you know, not our topic for today, but just the geopolitical, let's just say, issues going on in the region today. You just never know. And I really applaud those individuals that take the time, understand the need for maintaining the traditions, maintaining the information, the records, and just adding to that overall cultural, what's the word I want to use here? Just the cultural richness of the region.
That's accurate. As you've mentioned, it's not the topic for today, but just to specify, we are neighbors with Ukraine. So if, God forbid, things become worse, we'll also likely be affected. So as you've mentioned, even nowadays, the region is still under pressure. And therefore, our preservation of tradition is indeed strong. In fact, even in the younger population, okay, obviously young people tend to drive away from some stuff of their elders, but to be honest, there's a beautiful mix between making innovations but also preserving and maintaining tradition. It's a balance, and I like it.
So, how would you say is it traditionally the family units where these, you know, the folk practices, folk history, et cetera, is it typically through the family units that this information is shared, or is it more from the perspective of are the churches the centers of, I guess you can say, the keeper of records? How does that translate in Romania?
I understand your question. Initially, we all learn from our parents, obviously, but I wholeheartedly believe that basically the whole nation is built upon these traditional spiritual beliefs, because even in the media, even in normal conversations, we would use many sort of references to God, superstition, angels. It's like impossible to not go to a workplace, for example, and hear some piece of information about astrology or superstition, or if something bad happens, a woman or man knocks on the table in order to banish the evil from them, and so forth. It's extremely intrinsically part of our tradition. Even if your family was, let's say, atheist or agnostic, or just didn't care about religion or spiritual traditions, I don't think you could live in a bubble in Romania, because you'd stumble upon it everywhere.
It's kind of fascinating to me. So, you know, in various regions of the U.S., you know, sometimes spiritual individuals, you know, find it difficult to kind of establish or even share or show, I guess is another way to put it, their spiritual practices. You know, like, you know, heaven forbid that they wear jewelry that represents their path, without receiving, you know, the condemnation of the public around them, just to within my frame of reference, you know, just to go to Walmart, and I'm sure you've heard of you. I think there is a Walmart version in Europe, but you know, just to go to the store and be afraid to be who you are, from a spiritual sense, is a very real thing. If you're not of the majority, and I feel that am I getting a sense that, you know, those of us, this being spiritual in Romania is just, it's just accepted, it's just welcome.
Yes, exactly. In fact, it's part of our society as a whole. I don't think you can spell Romania without all sort of spells, rituals, superstitions, beliefs. It wouldn't be our country, I tell you that.
See, to me, that's just wonderful. In kind of a, you're saying about, you know, Romania not being a huge country on the global scale, but it seems like many nations, including the U.S., could take a page from Romania's book on inclusivity and diversity and acceptance.
That it's accurate. Well, from my understanding, the United States can also be, at least in certain regions, a spiritual place. It mostly depends. There are worse places for spiritual people, though, I believe.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that in the slightest. And you can see these reports on the news. Well, if you trust the news and actually read the news, and we're not, well, we won't get into that discussion about mass media. But there are some, you know, venerable outlets where you get the real story about what's going on. And there's so much persecution on a spiritual, religio-spiritual level in some places that, I mean, there's some places it's even has the penalty of death. It's just, it floors me, but.
Well, if I can add, in Romania, even the politicians fear witches and spiritual practitioners, and I'm not even joking.
I love it.
There were instances when politicians wanted to make things difficult for spiritual workers, and especially gypsy women, because we have a strong gypsy community here, organized themselves and through baneful magic or even threatened politicians that if you dare to do that, you'll pay the price. And I kid you not, they are scared to actually cross this woman. So spiritual workers are quite thriving here.
I can't help but, you know, kind of laugh at that whole thing. I have this mental image in my mind of, you know, just politicians hiding behind podiums and trying to dodge the evil eye and things like that. It's a very nice picture to have right at this moment in the political community situation of the United States it gives me hope.
That's true. That's why I like this place. Very spiritual, very magical, and respect for the sacred.
That's a very strong point that you make, is that respect for the sacred. And I think we could probably, if I'm gathering correctly, it's also respect for the individual that you're able to experience on a daily basis in your culture and in your society, that, you know, the spiritual community of the United States could definitely take several pages out of this playbook and truly become the bastion of hope that we strive to be. Maybe if you ever visit the US, you can bring this blueprint with you and we can see what we can get going.
I will make my best in this regard. Yes, I would say in Romania, while we have social issues, don't believe everything is all right here, but as for the spiritual beliefs, we hold into account that everyone is free to practice as long as they don't bother anyone, however they wish.
Definitely, definitely a blueprint that we need to take and run with. I'm just fascinated with the difference, you know, when you think about Eastern Europe and things of that nature from the popular media standpoint in the US, sometimes you get an idea of, I mean, there's it's two extremes. You either have the extreme of, you know, these beautiful castles and magical sort of places, magical, mean not in a spiritual magical spell sort of meaning, or dark and scary stuff. But you've definitely painted a very outstanding picture that I don't think a lot of people in the US truly get from the sources that are available to us today.
I tend to agree. It's interesting because we are a small country, but as we are speaking, at least, it seems like we truly embrace diversity. Well, in my region, we have lots of Muslim people. I mean, I live in the countryside, and we have, of course, our churches here, but also mosques, and everyone goes along. I don't think Romanians like too much the call for attention. I hope I'm spelling this right. When people try to draw attention too much, we like everyone to do their things in their own space without bothering anyone. So that's why we don't like extremism or all sort of far right organizations. I cannot see them thriving here because we don't like people being too much wanting to have cameras on them all night long.
understood. It kind of goes with I guess the colloquialism in the United States of, you know, stay in your lane. As long as you stay in your lane, we're all fine. Well, this is just wonderful. I'm just going to reiterate how excited I am to have you joining us tonight. And I think this actually might be a great place for us to pause and have Reverend James come in to give us a message from our sponsors. And then we will be back with Balkan Diviner and the folk practices of Romania. Stay tuned.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Thursdays 1 to 2, and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 7 to 8, all times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern. All of our shows are available in archives at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, where you will see them listed by title and episode and with clickable links. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you for all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
All right. Thank you, Reverend James. And now we are going to jump right into our topic for today. I'm really excited to dive deeper into the folklore, the folk practices, I should say, of Romania. We got a little bit of a taste of it during the beginning segment of the show, but with such an enriching culture of Romania, I have a feeling there's a lot to share. So I'm not gonna take up any more time, and I'm gonna turn it right over to our friend Balkan Diviner. Take it away.
Thank you, Reverend Art. Well, first things first, when it comes to Romanian folklore, it's important to understand that the magic of this place has been built for centuries in the countryside, meaning until like the 20th century, urban places, cities, and so forward were like a small portion of this country, and the majority of population, especially from the peasants, of course, were located in the countryside. And this is where magic, superstitions gathered. Usually on Sundays, Romanians had a traditional dance in circle holding hands called Hora. And during these occasions, they would chat, obviously, gossip, exchange opinions, and so forward. This is where you could hear old women talking about idioms or signs and all around this sort of spiritual stuff. Each village, obviously, had its own witch or healer woman. In Romania, as well as other places, there's obviously sometimes a difference between a witch, as in a witch was traditionally seen as a negative person, whereas a healer was considered positive. But obviously nowadays, we truly don't make much more difference between the two. They are spiritual workers. But right. This is how it was in the past. That's right. and this culture was shaped around monasteries, especially as priests had lots of influences, but also around noble mansions. And generally speaking, social order was highly important back then. Romania is a bit of a complex and contradictory culture. We value social order, but don't necessarily respect authority, because we have many fairy tales about corrupt kings, noblemen, and so forward. And for the protagonist of the fairy tale, what we call Fat Frumos, which would translate to beautiful lad, roughly in English, he must go into adventures and far away from his family's castle in order to prove himself. So Romanians don't believe that status and wealth is enough at all. Now, one story, short story I would like to share about Romania is related to how we perceive in folklore the birth of the planet. So again, it's important to remember that we are a highly religious country shaped around Christian orthodoxy, but it's interesting because at the same time there are many pagan elements combined within the culture. But nonetheless, Romanian magic is all about God, saints, angels, and particularly the Virgin Mary. She's a strong figure around here, at least in my understanding, compared to hoodoo. I might be wrong, but Virgin Mary is truly invoked here in many practices here and there, be it love rituals or blessings or healings. The maternal figure is important. Now, the origin of the planet specifies that God created the earth with the help of animals, while Satan tried to counteract his plans. In most versions, there are a bit mixed feelings, because sometimes Satan is even portrayed as God's clumsy brother or as a silly rival in a way, so it's not that much of an adversary. And before the earth existed, a boundless ocean called the Water of Saturday was the place where God resided. And the devil was seen more as his servant rather than an equal. But nonetheless, through God's wish and the help of animals, the planet was shaped as we know it, and to his command, the mountains and so forward. It's all based also on the climate of Romania and geographic locations. We have the Carpathian Mountains here.
That's very interesting, and it's an origin story that I've never encountered before.
Yes, it's quite unique, the place, I believe. Although, who knows, there might be similar stories in the Bulgarian, for example, folklore, but I'm not into that at the moment. Now, within Romania, we obviously have many customs related to periods of the year, such as Christmas carols or Storkova for New Year and Mălțișor for the beginning of marriage. These are magical places. Remember, I've talked about pagan rituals, where there is an interesting one called Paparuda, a ritual to summon rain during the summer. And in this ritual, there is a need for young women, girls usually, I mean under 14, to make a specific dance with a chant that would be translated roughly to Paparuda relative, come to get wet so that the rains may fall with buckets, made the paparudele bring forth corn as tall as fences. This was a significant problem in the summer, as drought here can be brutal and many farmers were desperate to get help from magic. It's interesting because the ritual also has a fixed traditional date, which is Thursday in the third week after Easter. But to be honest, also whenever there is extreme drought, and this occurs especially in the months of June and July. Around here, summers are quite hot.
That's actually very interesting. I mean, there in America's history, you know, we've definitely heard, like, from Native American culture in such that there are practices for drawing down the rain and such. I've never really considered the differences in these practices around the world. That's fascinating.
That's true. At the same time, it's important to notice how in these pagan origins of this ritual, women from the village especially sprinkle the young girls who dance with buckets of water. And in Romania, we also have lots of masked theaters and dances, meaning that whenever somebody does a ritual dance, he must also dress as a traditional character. And it can look quite frightful and Halloweenish to foreigners, but it's how we do things around here in order to sometimes banish evil spirits. That's what was believed in the past, that dressing and having eccentric costumes was also believed to actually scare the spirits away.
You know, Balkan Diviner, if you can find or have in your possession photos that you wouldn't mind to share or illustrations of some of these practices and rituals, if that would be agreeable, I'm just going to extend the offer. Feel free to send them to me and I will share them with our listeners through the Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places social media. And I think we could probably, with the assistance of my technical savior, Reverend James, to establish a page on the Mystics and Mages website to kind of celebrate these practices. We don't have to discuss that now. I'm just going to put that offer out there for you.
Well, sure thing. Why not? I'll send the pictures to you. Finally, this whole procession goes from house to house in the community, particularly in the village. And the companions sing a ritual song, they clap their hands, while Papa Duda, who is the young girl, performs a lively dance, sometimes with other Papa Rudas, meaning there can be a group of women, or young girls preferably. After the dance is finished, it's important for their clothes to be washed with water. Water in Romania, as well as in your Hoodoo tradition, if I'm not mistaken, particularly moving water, it's extremely important to disregard of any sort of items that can be detrimental or when you want to cleanse something and to never return.
That's true. Very true.
And as rewards for their dance, they are usually rewarded with gifts that symbolize abundance, such as wheat, eggs, cheese, and so forth, fruits, and even money, although obviously back in the day, not so much the colored papers that we think of around here now. And after they finish going around the village, they go to a flowing water source, and they throw their leafy garments into the water. So that's one pagan ritual borrowed from pagan origins, because Romania initially was called Dacia, and here Dacians, meaning the inhabitants of this place, worshipped a god named Zalmoxis and other lunar deities. But afterwards, the Christianization of the region happened. And of course, as we know from history, I'm going to be brief, the pagan elements sometimes mixed with the Christian ones and the new path was formed.
That's very true. That's a debate that's been going on for longer than I can remember, but maybe we could have that discussion for another show. This is wondrous information that you're sharing with us today. Are these generally like huge festivals, this ritual? Is it something like, you know, neighboring villages would come in, neighboring towns? Or is it very specific to sections around Romania?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, to be honest, it depends on the region because different regions have different customs. But most often than not, there are also traditions that are generally accepted in the whole country. It honestly depends because each region has its own share of influence. Since Romania was formed of roughly three regions before, each one had to fight with different foreign powers. And as foreigners invaded our countries, different practices mix it, and so forward. For example, what we have in my region is also sometimes borrowed from Turkish influences, whereas what we can see in Moldova may have Russian elements. So it depends sometimes on the region, but there is a sense of unity as well in those things. Well, Papa Ruda that I've talked about is mostly used in the south of Romania, particularly in Oltenia, because it's the most agricultural part of the country, so it's obvious that's where it's most needed.
That would very much make sense. I'm personally already in awe. The rich pagan history of Eastern Europe is, I feel, it's been kind of lost a little bit in even the larger discussion of paganism being subsumed by, Christianity over the years. When you and I in a previous discussion, we'd mentioned, talking about Slavic deities and such too, that there's an entire pantheon available, or that lives in these traditions that a lot of the world hasn't really experienced or had a chance to understand. And I'm thrilled that you're bringing this to us today.
That's true. You're also right that it's interesting because as I've prepared for this show, as I've thought about what I must talk, my initial reaction was that, well, Romania is a very Christian country, but deep down you can find also our pagan roots. However, unfortunately, you won't find many informations about the old pagan gods of Romania. I literally don't even know if there is a book available. So yes, the information is lost on one hand, but on the other hand, at least it's preserved to our continuous traditions, even if masked under Christian background.
It makes me wonder, because archaeologists continuously find, new repositories of information in their searches around the world of, diving back into history and everything. I really hope that if such a repository exists, even something that's currently accessible, maybe a church library. People talk about the enormity and the immensity of like the Vatican Library, or maybe some dusty tomes hiding in the back room of a university's library. I think the world would be enriched by exploring further into the folklore of Romania and the region as a whole.
What I would also like to add in this discussion is related to Romanians' most fearful curse, let's say the evil eye. So
Oh.
if you come in Romania, the evil eye is basically evil incarnate here because at every step, you would find many people advising you to be careful. And it's funny because there were many instances of foreigners coming from countries where there was not such a culture and people wanted to treat them in one way or the other. Say they felt bad one day, and locals would say, "Well, you certainly have the evil eye on you." And they were well struck with shock because they haven't even heard about that. So, yes, the evil eye. Well, in Romanian, it's called Deochi. And it is believed that There are people who actually can cast this very well and very naturally because they are more negative and pessimistic by nature. Whereas we also believe there are healers, meaning there are people who are basically prone to heal the evil eye quickly. And there are also people who are unable to do that. For instance, in my family, my father can say the Lord's Prayer 3 times and the evil eye is gone. That's how simple it is. And I've borrowed this from him, meaning I've inherited this gift. Whereas my mother, she can say it as many times as she wants and she won't cure you at all. And one of my aunts is actually proficient in casting the evil eye. Once at her wedding, she basically casted it upon everyone, and everyone was having headaches. I kid you not, this is how crazy it is around here. Wow. And traditionally, we believe that people with especially green eyes or eyebrows that meet in the middle are prone to the evil eye, especially when they stare at something beautiful or attractive. And if you do that, it's important to say, in English, it will be translated to may not be affected by the evil eye while spitting 3 times. So spitting is an important aspect of this culture to protect something. It's a bit weird for people from other cultures because it would obviously seem, I don't know, disrespectful. But here it's a form of protection.
Yeah, the evil eye does have its influences and beliefs here in the United States as well. Is this something that is very firmly ingrained in the entire region? Is it not? I know early in my life, my first, I don't want to say exposure because that makes it sound like somebody was throwing the evil eye at me, but my first recollection of hearing about the evil eye was in relation to, actually it was Romanian gypsy culture.
That's correct. Romanian gypsy culture is enriched with specific spells and all sort of rituals to banish the evil eye. Here's one that a relative used on me with success in the past, and it's called the extinguishing of coals. So in a cup, water is placed and you cover it with a hand by saying the Lord's Prayer. Then a lit coal is dipped into the water and the cup is covered. And you would usually pray or count down backwards, or it depends on the tradition specifically. But afterwards, the second call is placed. Then after counting and praying, the third call. And finally, the Lord's Prayers is recited once more. If the calls sink to the bottom of the water, it means that the person is indeed affected by the evil eye. And therefore, you must, after replacing them, eat at least some of this water in order to heal yourself and be anointed with it.
That is definitely, that's very unique, and I have not heard of something similar to that. Just, you know, I always picture this Rolodex in my brain of just flipping through trying to see if I've come across anything similar. No, that's completely new, and I thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, and it's important to throw the water somewhere where it won't be stepped on, such as a corner of a yard or preferably outside as much as possible.
Would this be something that could also be thrown into moving water to be carried away?
Yes, it could be.
You know, just kind of using the hoodoo aspects and trying to, you know, draw those parallels a little bit there.
Yes, it could be, but it would depend on how far you can go actually to dispose of a cup of water, and if you live near moving water.
No, that is very true, because there are many parts of the U.S. that it's not really an option to easily find those moving rivers and streams, or even in some cases a creek. This is teach us more is all I can. I feel like all I can say right now, you're doing so wonderfully. This is amazing.
Yes, elders say that one way to repel or even protect yourself from the evil eye is to wear some red thread wherever it's possible. It's believed that red, especially as a color, has protective qualities, but also basil. Basil is a magical plant in Romania. It's like, I think, the most important one, and I'll come back to that. I would also like to talk about, because I feel probably many people know about this. As you've mentioned, when they hear about Romania, they may think about vampires or Dracula in specific. Well, we have something of a spirit similar to this called strigoi, which are basically sort of werewolves or spirits of the dead that dwell in the sky, among the clouds or above them, according to mythology. It's funny because culturally, they were considered responsible for eclipses because they bite the moon or the sun. Oh. And they were driven away through bonfires and prayers, so forward, and loud noises. It's especially believed that there are certain people who are born prone to be this kind of strigoi. And if such a thing happens, there must be rituals made. For example, if there are certain signs on the newborn's head, they must be removed or covered as soon as possible, as it is believed that they can turn in a strigoi. It's basically determined even since you are born through different signs of the body. Or it can also happen if the person was particularly evil in this life. And it is believed that strigoi does not eat garlic or onions and avoids incense. So it's a bit of a parallel to vampires, but still quite different.
You know, that's actually very interesting, because you reminded me of, and I never really got the entire history behind this, but in my late teens, I was friends with someone who had immigrated to the U.S. from Bulgaria, and they would do a bonfire. They would do it it was actually on the night of the new moon, you know, when everything is just is dark. And the only explanation I ever got when I asked, well, what's the history behind this, was it keeps away the strigoi. And that's all they ever said.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. So this person knew it's tough.
That you've cleared up a now almost 30-year mystery for me.
Another way that someone might become a strigoi is that if they're left unattended in the house. So when someone dies in Romania, at least in the past, or in the countryside, they would stay in the house guarded by family members for at least 2 to 3 days. And it was believed that if animals such as cats especially, or mice perhaps, pass over them, they would become a strigoi. So it was customary to guard the deceased as much as possible until they were buried, literally.
That's fascinating. So, you know, cats, rodents and such, they could carry was it more like they were carrying the spirit of the strigoi to possess the body?
I don't believe that. Now, there's no official explanation, but at least in my understanding, the cats, unfortunately, because they are such cute animals, were still considered evil, at least in some parts of history and regions.
True.
As you know, in the Inquisition, well, we, in Romania, we didn't have any Inquisition, but still, some animals were certainly associated with dark forces, and cats were especially seen as that because of their cunning nature. If it was a black cat, all the worse. You could say that strigois are basically poltergeists of Romania, because this is what they would do if you didn't take the proper measurements, they would create poltergeist activities. So what do you do then? To kill a Strigoi, one must find the grave of that Strigoi was buried there and have priests read the burial service. Afterwards, you take a stake made of oak and into its heart, or pierce it with a nail or a knife to keep it bound to the coffin and prevent it from causing harm. So as you can see, it was quite a pain to kill a Strigoi because you have to take the body from the earth. So many people did what they had to do in order to not be harmed.
Right. Okay, and I can see how that has, you know, evolved. I'm a little, as much research as I do, I'm a little upset that even for myself, I kind of push back against that pop culture sort of indoctrination into the history and beliefs of a region. But I can kind of see how this has evolved over the centuries to where we are today. That's really very intriguing.
It's also intriguing looking at Romanians' customs and traditions that we indeed have placed an important emphasis on protection, especially around your household. It appears the most important aspect of this culture, and historically it's not a coincidence at all, because I don't know if this belief is found in America or not. It perhaps is. I've heard about it elsewhere, but Romanians certainly believe that each house has a snake, which is generally white and lives beneath the house. It is believed that if you kill this snake one way or the other, you would bring devastation and your luck would be totally destroyed. In fact, in Romania, luck is extremely important as a folkloric concept, because we believe some people are born with incredible luck, like sometimes it's spelled the luck of the devil, and they are just naturally predisposed to have many lucky occurrences into their life. Romanian tradition says that each person is born with a cross that they must carry, just as Jesus Christ carries his. And some of them, unfortunately, can have bigger and more difficult crosses, whereas others can have more easier. But it's certainly believed that by doing anything bad to your luck or house snake could bring devastating consequences.
That is a completely new concept. I have never heard that before. I'm trying to see if I can think of anything even that kind of relates.
I think many cultures have a belief that there are spirits around the house. I don't know if they believe that those spirits necessarily bring luck, but it's certainly found in many places.
I love the whole belief, though, that I'm starting to draw a few parallels in my brain to other things that I have studied and read about, but this adds a whole new dimension to my research that I'm definitely going to be looking further into. I mean, I know, at least in a lot for those of us that are spiritual in the US, you know, a lot of like the protectionary sort of things that you mentioned that are part of Romanian culture as well. I know we use a lot of herbs and plants and things like that to protect the house and bring luck. I think this is an interesting kind of a parallel.
In Romanian folklore, it's also important to pay notice and make appropriate rituals for what people in the past thought of the most important stages of life, the birth, the wedding, and the funeral. So as soon as the child is born, there are several things that must be done. But in fact, Romanian placed an important aspect on fertility magic as well. And this is something I've shared, in fact, in the past with the radio show. Basically, here we believe there are dark spirits who can attack a woman or prevent her from becoming pregnant, and they are of many kinds. They can enter the mouth and stick to the bones. would say the folklorists, and they can produce many, many bad stuff to the woman. A spell to banish those spirits is performed on Monday mornings before the sun rises. They cast chants over a glass of wine, which no one has tasted yet, and three times, giving it to the woman and throwing that glass in the sea, preferably in the Black Sea, but of course not everyone could travel back then, but in a running water. As you can see, a lot of rituals are based on liquids and simple glasses that are chanted over with additional stuff being added.
Yeah, I have noticed the theme. It sounds like it's a very intrinsic theme. I've been so fascinated. I'm stumbling over my words tonight. I'm learning so much and definitely developing a much more an intense draw to the culture that you're presenting. This is amazing.
And I would also like to share a Romanian trick my mother used on me. So it's important to set things straight. In Romania, after the baby is born, it's traditional to not cut his hair until he is 1 year old. And then this is the responsibility of the godfather. So after the baby is born, as I've said, his parents do not cut his hair. But this action is undertaken on his birthday. That strand of hair is tied with a penny in a package. In the package, you place umbilical cord that is present at birth. And every year, at the beginning of the scholar year, my mother put secretly, I didn't know that, this package into my school bag. And this was used for scoring the highest grade. Now, it's a bit difficult to explain, but this strand of hair in Romania is called moț. And moți would also represent first. So if you say you are like a moț, it would mean that you are the first. You are the first in line. And that is why that hair that is first cut from the baby's head is considered important and magical. I still keep it, for instance, that is tied with a penny in a package. I still have in a drawer.
Sounds like a very strong sort of prosperity and abundance talisman in your culture. I've heard of similar sort of practices in a couple other different cultures, but I'm just going to say Americanized, because it's been people that I've met over the years. You've presented something that's actually a lot more thorough and explains a lot more towards what the practice truly means.
As you can see, it's sometimes difficult to explain these practices to people of other countries, because you truly have to understand the culture and the language. I truly believe that if you want to dive into a society, if you do not understand the culture, the linguistic references, humor and so forward, you won't fully comprehend everything about their tradition.
I definitely can agree with that. You know, with Reverend James and I having had the opportunity to really make friends around the world, from, you know, Italy, Japan, Hong Kong, Taiwan, over Germany, the UK, the Czech Republic, they've all shared with us a bit of a snapshot into their culture, with the idiosyncrasies, the differences in humor. I'm glad you brought that up too. It truly is a huge aspect of understanding that culture and the beliefs.
Let me just say that Romanians love dark humor. We have a saying that we make fun of dreadful things, a face haznecaz, meaning Even if something bad happens, Romanians always want to look at the glass half full, and they like to crack jokes.
See, I would have to say that I probably would get along very well with that aspect, and I'm sure Reverend James would agree that I'm a bit of a dark humor, poking fun at things that most people don't usually sort of individual.
Well, it's funny because the most favorite desserts of Romanian is sometimes believed to be the coliva, and coliva is always brought at funerals, so that's a given. Yes, another interesting tradition that is present that is cutting hair for the first time of the baby is called choosing the objects from a tray. And I'm sure I've seen JD mentioning this somewhere around the Italian regions, perhaps. I'm not sure. But basically, a baby is given a tray with multiple objects in front of them, and he's encouraged to choose at least three objects from the tray, which may contain things like cards, keys, books, all sorts of items. My parents did that to me as well, and I picked a pencil and a book or note, which is interesting because I've been a good student and I've also been interested in writing, so it was quite a spot-on prediction. Yes, it's basically believed that whatever object they choose would sometimes influence their future and career.
I seem to feel that's very similar to some things that I've actually seen in Asian cultures as well. It's not something so much that we kind of feel and experience and find a preponderance of these kind of beliefs in the United States, but that's a very interesting to take a look at. Now I'm going to have to go back and do some research myself to see what everybody's first objects were around me and how they've turned out over the years. You've given me more research to do, Balkan Diviner.
Yes, that's correct. Well, at least for me it has been spot on, but I've also heard other people being satisfied with their choosing. There is certainly something in this tradition.
I would have to agree that, you know, I'm just thinking back to even my childhood. I'm not going to get into that because it's not the topic too much of the show for tonight, but it's been very true. I was picking up pencils and crayons and drawing and writing, and that's a lot of what I do now. And just never really thought of it. I'm fascinated.
In Romania, people also look up at the weather in these memorable events of life. For instance, weddings and funerals in particular, because it is believed that if it rains during your wedding, the union will be rich, actually, in love and children and happiness. But if it rains during a funeral, it means that the deceased has left with regrets and tears.
Wow. That.
Yeah.
No, there's a very... I love understanding and hearing about all these nuances of, you know, the beliefs, the folk beliefs and such. And, you know, we have roughly about 16 minutes left in today's show, and I want to jump back to you mentioned something about basil, and
that's right, I've also thought about it, that I must return to this magical plant. Well, yes, because tradition says in Romania that basil is basically linked with the tears of a man who lost his lover to death. and it's a magical plant that's everywhere, especially in churches. It's certainly recommended to have it everywhere with you, and it's considered a bringer of fortune. And there are many superstitions. For instance, the woman who drinks basil water on an empty stomach every day will remain forever young, should say the folklore, and be loved as on the first day by her loved one. Additionally, carrying basil brings luck in love, and especially girls and boys when they are younger place basil under their pillow on the nights of Saint Andrew, or Dragobete, or Senzienne. Saint Andrew is celebrated on 13 November, whereas Dragobete is our version of Valentine's Day on 24 February, and Senzienne are linked with fairies that are celebrated on 24 June. Also, on the evening of these celebrations, girls must put basil in a bucket, and if they found the basil frosty the next day, this happened especially in winter, they will be married in the following year. So it's also a method of divination. And it's also used under the pillow to see your lover. I'm sure there is something like this in American culture too, dreaming about your loved one or future spouse. It's important also to have basil blessed in the church on the wedding day, and because the newlyweds will be happy together forever, so they say at least. And the girls again take basil from bells of the churches, and if they wash themselves with it, they will be dear to bachelors and attractive. We also have something called the fairy snow. I've mentioned Dragobete, meaning our Valentine's Day, on February. So if you collect snow, especially as a girl, from that period, and wash yourself with it, it's considered that you'll be very attractive, like the fairies.
Sounds like basil is an all-around must-have plant.
That's correct. And there are many, many traditions about it attracting love and luck, because these were considered the most important aspect. And it's interesting because if you notice, a lot of emphasis is on girls. And it's true, because in our culture in the past, well, it's kind of a toxic tradition, but it was what it was. It was believed that a girl must necessarily be married until a certain age, generally 25 at the latest. And if you weren't married by then, you'd be considered an old woman. And yeah, and this is why a great emphasis is placed on girls attracting love or attraction from bachelors through these sort of spells.
And starting at a fairly, as soon as they possibly can, apparently.
Yes, that's true, because as I've mentioned, since we valued continuation of the tradition, it's natural that a great emphasis was placed on marriage and having children to continue the bloodline. It's logical.
Very true, very true. Are there any other sorts of herbs, plants, etc., that are very strong in Romanian folk practices?
That's a good question, but I cannot think of one that is so universal as the basil. However, I have to say that snowdrops are also considered magical flowers, because there is a whole tradition linked to them having arrived as the messengers of spring. Of course, roses, poppies, it's generally believed that it's not good to be married on May, actually, because you'll rot away very easy, like the flowers of May. It's a belief in Romanian cultures. But unfortunately, no, I cannot think of another herb as universal as the basil. It's like the must-have of our culture. Otherwise, it mostly depends on the culture, on the region. We also have garlic, as I've mentioned, who is considered extremely potent and powerful to repel bad spirits. and even to banish negative people. They are placed on the windows, on the doors, they literally everywhere, to be honest, and especially on special nights such as Saint Andrew in the autumn, because people believe strigois are more powerful back then. It's sort of like of Halloween of Romania. It's interesting to see the parallels. Okay. We have our Valentine's Day, we have our Halloween, and so forward.
That's just amazing.
Oh, in fact, I can think of one. Bay leaves are also quite popular here. I'm not sure of their historical uses, but I've seen many, especially celebrities, talking about this sort of thing. Around now, they place bay leaves under their shoes or even at their doors. They burn them, they sprinkle ashes. So it's also a popular plant nowadays. And my mother always says, put bay leaves in your pockets and you'll draw money.
Very, very similar practices surrounding the bay leaves here in the U.S. and especially, you know, in several folk practices here in the Appalachian area with hoodoo. And so on and so forth. I guess that's one of the universally accepted herbs. I'm kind of curious though with the basil. Is it a specific kind of basil or is it just basil in general? Because it's one thing that I've made sure to grow every year, and I'm very intrigued to find out if there's a specific, I guess, species. If not, I'm good to go.
I think what's most important is that they are blessed by the church. It's believed that items blessed in the church are extremely potent. That would be the first step. And the second one is also believed that you must speak to flowers or even herbs. Yes, it's a sort of link to animism, but it's certainly popular around here. So when witches, especially gypsy women, collect flowers or herbs in general, they would usually speak their intentions and even address them like friends or lovers and even kiss them. So it's important to treat those plants well so that they can give you what you want. I don't believe it's that much selective based on their actual categories, but it's important to follow a certain minimal procedure.
That is an excellent point. And we are getting ever so near the end of our show today. And I'm just going to say, Falcon Diviner, you are more than welcome to rejoin us at any time in the future. But I do have one question. What are like some of the divination practices in Romania that are, you know, more traditional?
Yes, that's a good question. And unfortunately, I don't have a complex answer here. So you're asking about traditional divination practices. Well, for one, as I've mentioned, there are these dreaming of your lovers using basil that are popular.
Right.
Other than that, I believe that I've talked about in the radio show, we have a method that's called selecting your baba, meaning selecting your old woman. So based on when you are born, the whole date, you calculate the whole numbers until you get a single number, and it will be from 1 to 9. And if you have, for example, the number 8, your baba will be on 8th March. And in 8th March, you would look at the weather and see how it is. If it's sunny, peaceful, prosperous, you'll have a good year. However, if it's rainy or stormy, you'll have many challenges ahead. This is one of a popular method of seeing how your year will go. I hope I'm clear with that. For example, if you are born on 16th August 21, you calculate all the numbers, 6 plus 8 plus 2 plus 1, and so forward. Then what is the answer in the end, which must be a single number, so whatever your For example, if by adding this digit you get a number like, I don't know, 23, you calculate again 2 plus 3 and it gets 5. So your Baba is on March 5. It depends on the final number based on the calculations. I hope I'm clear with this.
Oh, it's making very much sense. It's kind of it's really interesting that it takes a form, a part of numerology, and kind of mixes in some like almanac information. That's really kind of cool. Is forms of divination that are popular in the United States, I mean, we're predominantly, you'll hear most about like Western astrology, Tarot, to an extent Lenormand divination. Are these as popular in Romania as they are here?
I don't think the tarot was as popular, but nowadays it certainly is, because many people own decks. Playing cards were more popular, but to be honest, I believe other than card reading, palmistry was also highly appreciated in the past, especially by gypsy women who read from place to place for people. You'd most likely see someone reading palms, or it's interesting because I've remembered something about corn kernels, I believe they're spelled in English, meaning,
yes.
Yes, this is also a method of divination, like how it is done, for example, with bones or with dice. You throw them into a table, and based on symbolism, you interpret the signs and what they're going to have, what's going to happen in your life. It's complicated and must be passed down by a teacher, because again, you won't find many books on it. Unfortunately, I didn't have a person to teach me this, so my knowledge is also limited.
Well, perhaps the teacher will still appear. You never know. It's a lot of this, like Reverend James does, like the Sangoma bone readings and things of that nature. So I find that very interesting. I don't think I've heard of the use of corn kernels. If Reverend James is actually still with us, listening in the background, is that something you're familiar with? I know you have a little bit more in-depth knowledge than I do on these.
The only thing I'm familiar with in regards to corn kernel divination is something similar that is done in Mexican culture, where you take a bunch of corn kernels and you take a handful of them and then put them in groups of, I believe it's four kernels at a time. And then depending on how many you end up with in a final grouping depends on, will determine the divination.
That's interesting too. Okay.
And of course, I would like to mention bibliomancy is also popular around here. In fact, there are many priests who do this sort of thing. Also, although in the religious organization, it's a bit controversial, but yes, bibliomancy is also popular. Reading the future through the Bible's passages.
You know, that's actually, bibliomancy is something that is very prevalent, especially in like the region here in Western North Carolina, talk about Eastern Tennessee, the Appalachian region. It's one of those things that's fairly well known, although not talked about per se, I guess maybe along the same lines as it is in Romania. But we only have a few moments left here today, Balkan Diviner. Is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners before we take it out for tonight?
Well, there's a lot of information to be said about Romanian folklore. And to be honest, before I started the show, I believed I want to have the amount of information that I want to share in the time. But in fact, it's even more to be given. It's a rich culture, but unfortunately information through books may not be as well preserved. It's that type of thing when you truly need to find a native practitioner or at least someone truly versed into this region in order to have a whole grasp. As you can see, Romanians place an importance on religious figures, just books and holy books, I meant, and also on water, especially as a magical element. A lot of spells are linked with water, with purifying this element into your body and soul and mind. It's also important to understand that Romanians value protection, especially, and home growth, community being the most important cornerstone of our magical tradition. Other than that, there's much to be said, and I would like to be back and add even more details.
We will definitely make that happen, Balkan Diviner. This has been a wonderful, let's just call it part one into the exploration of Romanian folklore, Romanian magic, folk magic, Romanian folk practices. I would love to talk with you again very soon. So, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for tonight. I sincerely hope everyone's enjoyed your time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, let's keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Balkan Diviner of Romania, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week whenever we will have another special guest on for Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics, Thursdays and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics and Mages and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun.